Fuel your team with Total Coffee from Staples Business Advantage. Our comprehensive program offers no upfront cost brewers, installation, maintenance, and supplies. Plus, our incredible selection of coffee and beverages, including our new Pick-Me-Up Provisions brand. We handle everything from finding the best brewer to providing ongoing service, all at no cost with your minimum monthly spend on break room products. Visit staplesadvantage.com/totalcoffee to get started.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, hello there, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo, and it is Monday, June 3rd. So I don't normally do Raw reviews here on my channel. However, I've decided to do something and try something a little bit different because I review every other show here. And I know that some people, you know, only listen on YouTube. Some people only listen on the audio podcast. And so I wanted to do something special for those that listen to the audio versions of my shows. And so I'm going to test the waters and see how this Raw, little mini Raw review is received. And if it is received well, then I will continue to do some of these mini Raw reviews here. If you enjoy them, please let me know. Hit me up on social media and let me know, like, hey, Denise, keep doing them. And if not, then well, it won't hurt to try, you know? So I want to basically do a review of the show and just kind of talk about what was really the big things that happened, especially because it's a 3-hour show. And let's be real, a lot of people do not have time to commit to 3 hours of Raw. Sometimes you just want to know what the hell happened. Was it good? Should I tune in next week? And I know for a long time, there was probably like a couple of months when I was in college and I didn't get to watch wrestling as consistent as obviously I'm doing now. But you know how it is, life gets in the way sometimes and you just don't have the time to commit. And I remember that what was keeping me engaged and in the know was listening to Raw reviews. Those were the reviews that I would listen to. And that's how I sort of stayed up to date with what was actually happening in pro wrestling and who was hot, who was not, and what I should know about. Because there was a time when I was only tuning into pay-per-views because, again, I got so caught up in my college life and what I was doing with all of that. So I say all this to say that I know that there are people busy with work, busy with school, busy with social lives that probably don't have time to spend 3 hours on pro wrestling. So here it is. Here is my Raw review. So let's get to it. All right. I'm going to start off with the biggest and what I think is kind of like the hottest angle right now on Raw. Believe it or not, the hottest angle right now, aside from Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, because that one sort of has hit the pause button for right now. So aside from what they were doing with that a couple weeks ago, the hottest angle right now on Raw, in my opinion, is Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio. I can't even believe those words are coming out of my mouth because I used to not be a Dominic Mysterio fan. I really was not. I'd be like, what the hell is this? What are we doing? But Dominic has proven to get some good heat. The guy is hated. He is booed. People are interested in the stuff that they have been putting him in. And of course, it all began with his relationship with Rhea Ripley. And now Liv Morgan is seducing Dominic Mysterio. And we know, at least us, we expect Liv Morgan, the reason that she's seducing him to be because she wants to get back at Rhea Ripley. This is her revenge tour. She wants to get revenge on Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is unfortunately out due to injury at the moment, and she's not on the show. And with that, how do you keep the story going? How do you keep it going so that when Rhea Ripley comes back, all of a sudden you got this hot feud with Liv Morgan? Well, you do that with Dominic Mysterio. And this storyline has gotten a little, I don't want to say raunchy because raunchy sounds too tacky, but it sounds a little bit negative, but it's definitely gotten a little bit more R-rated. And I'm not talking the Lita and Edge sex celebration. No, none of that. But it definitely has gotten a lot more Monday Night Raw. You know what I mean? We've actually seen Liv Morgan and Dominic kiss. And I do not recall ever seeing Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley kiss, especially not like that, not full-on French kissing. They did not do any of that. They would only do little teases where, you know, she would make it seem like there was something more going on and all the stuff that was going on was sort of behind the scenes. So they did it so that it made you think like, oh yeah, Rhea Ripley is totally rocking Dominic's world behind the scenes, but they never did it on Raw. Of course, like we never saw that. They would only whisper and do suggestive materials, what they would do. So Liv Morgan has already made out with Dominic Mysterio. And then today on the show, she got super handsy with him to the point where I literally screamed because she got so handsy with Dominic Mysterio. She really, really went downtown, if you know what I mean. And I thought, oh my God, are we really about to see this happen on television? What is happening? Can you even do that on TV? Of course she wasn't, right? But she teased it so much that for a second, I definitely bit into, oh my God, Liv Morgan is about to ravage this man in front of millions of viewers. But she didn't. But this all basically ended with Finn Balor coming out and basically putting a stop to this. Now, I will say this. The biggest heel on Monday Night Raw, it's not Dominic Mysterio. No, my friends, it's Finn Balor. Because Finn Balor came out and C-blocked. I'm going to say C-blocked because I don't know what the rules are and whether or not I can say the full word. He C-blocked Dominic and Liv. Not once, but twice. He also did it later on in the show. There was another moment in which Dominic Mysterio was about to get his ass beat by Braun Strowman, and Liv Morgan comes out and basically tells Braun not to. And of course, because she's a woman, he's not going to do anything to Liv Morgan. And so she saves Dominic Mysterio. And then once again, she starts to like give him the bewildering eyes. She starts to give him the face. And Dominic is honestly looking like he's liking it. He's looking it like he's liking it. There was a moment on the show where Liv Morgan just like ran her whole hand through Dominic's hair. And let me tell you, I know for a fact that men love that. Men love it. They love their head being rubbed. So Dominic is finally looking like he is actually giving in to Liv Morgan. Whether or not he was already in cahoots with her or if it's going to develop into something more, because from the looks of it, Liv Morgan is giving him a whole lot more than Rhea Ripley has. So anyways, that's what's sort of going on. I can't believe that the hottest story on Raw is this story. This story, and then I would say the one that comes closest is the Chad Gable Alpha Academy story. So what this is saying is we need more bigger stories on Monday Night Raw, to be honest. We really do. But regardless, they got me interested in Liv and Dom successfully. It is what it is. But since I went on and talked about the second biggest story, or might be the biggest story for some other people, it is the Chad Gable Alpha Academy Sami Zayn stuff. And we saw a follow-up to that. Basically, the whole gist of this story is that Chad Gable has been treating his friends like shit. He's been treating Tozawa like shit, Otis like shit, and Maxxine Dupree. And he doesn't see it. Like, he doesn't see what he's doing to them. He doesn't see how poorly he treats them. And we see him basically send them out there and confront Sami Zayn. They read a letter. And in this letter, Chad Gable is just burying them. And He's making them read it. Maxine is reading this letter to Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn's like, guys, don't you see this? Like, why are you still friends with Chad Gable? He's trying to talk them out of doing his bidding, doing all of the things he wants them to do. But like Pat McAfee said on commentary, they are pretty much brainwashed, like it is a cult. And so they are doing what their leader, Chad Gable, wants them to do. And this all leads to Tozawa and Maxine accidentally taking a bump at the hands of Chad Gable. And Otis is looking like he's finally going to get into the face of Chad Gable. But again, it's just a tease. There was a huge pop, though, when people thought that Otis was actually going to attack Chad Gable, which, of course, that's not going to happen probably until the pay-per-view. I'm expecting that to happen at Clash at the Castle. That's when I'm finally expecting Otis to actually stand up for himself. But I thought they did a good job of really building a lot of sympathy for the Alpha Academy, because before that, the person that had all of the sympathy was Chad Gable. Like, Chad Gable was somebody that the people genuinely loved, and he's been able to turn it around so fast. You have to give him some credit. Like, he went from full-on babyface to now he's such a jerk, right? He's so entertaining to watch, but obviously he's been a jerk to his friends. And so that's been very cool to sort of see how that's all turned out. But basically, that's what we're getting right now. Sami Zayn is trying to open the eyes of the Alpha Academy, and they're just not budging quite yet. So that's one of the other big stories going on Monday Night Raw. I'm liking it. Again, I'm not expecting anything to happen until Clash at the Castle, but I am liking all of the story that they've been telling here. I like what they've been doing with Chad Gable in particular, and really making him into a heel. I think he's been doing such a fine job at that. So that's probably the second biggest story on the show. So from now on, let's go ahead and kind of go in order of what went down and what else is going on Raw. So Ludwig Kaiser defeated Sheamus in about a 13-minute match. And this was honestly a pretty tough match here. And I say that in a positive way because they were beating the crap out of each other. They really were. And I liked this because it felt like a fight. It didn't really feel like a match. It felt more so like a fight. And at one point, like, we literally see Ludwig Kaiser just like attacking Sheamus on the corner, and he's hitting him with kicks and chops and everything, slapping him. He's coming at him in every way possible. And Sheamus just yells at him like, is that all you got? And eventually Sheamus hits a knee strike, and his knee was exposed because Kaiser dropped his knee pad and he went for the bro kick, but his leg ended up giving out. And so Kaiser tries to schoolboy him, but he ends up getting a two count instead. And so Sheamus then gets him with the 10 beats of whatever it is that he calls it, the freaking 10 chops that he gives them. And so eventually we see Kaiser ends up rolling him up near the ropes, and he gets the win in what was a very quick victory for him. I actually like that they gave Ludwig Kaiser the victory, because I feel like if you want to build up Kaiser, he's got such a great look, he's got such great physique, and he's can actually go in the ring. And I want to see them build him up. I want to see them make him into something, and getting a win over Sheamus definitely is going to do that. So this was something that also was very entertaining on the show. So we also got Finn Balor defeating Dragon Lee. There's really not that much to say. They gave Dragon Lee a promo package, trying to show people a little bit of who he is. The match was pretty short. It wasn't bad or anything like that, but there really isn't that much to say about this other than everything that happened afterwards, which was Finn Balor and Carlito attacking Dragon Lee, and Braun Strowman and Rey Mysterio coming out to have his back. And then that led to everything that we saw between Braun Strowman, Dominic, and Liv Morgan that I mentioned earlier. So that was pretty much what they did there. All right. So the other item that I want to go ahead and get into is Bron Breakker. So Bron Breakker approaches Adam Pearce, and he basically is still mad that he wasn't in the King of the Ring. And honestly, I really agree with Bron Breakker here. I think he should be pissed that Adam Pearce didn't put him in King of the Ring. I think it made Adam Pearce look so dumb. Like, why would you not put somebody who has been on the freaking roll of their life? Bron Breakker was having all of these squash matches on SmackDown, looking freaking incredible. Why wouldn't you put this guy in the King of the Ring? Like, it really made Pearce look dumb that he didn't put Bron Breakker in the King of the Ring. And then he's mad that Bron Breakker hasn't gotten over it just yet. I agree with Bron. He should be pissed. I agree. But anyways, this all leads to a match between Bron Breakker and Ricochet. And I had a hell of a time with this match. This match was so much fun because you get the two perfect competitors, right? You have Ricochet, that we know can do all of the high-flying stuff. And then you got Bron Breakker, who can do all the ass-whooping stuff. So you get a really nice little mix here of styles. A mix of styles is what you get here. And so Bron Breakker, man, one of the things I love about Bron Breakker is how he runs the ropes. The way that he runs the ropes is always so exhilarating because you see him just do it so fast and so smooth. And so commentary made a note that he runs the ropes at 23 miles per hour. Now, again, I don't know how they technically decipher that. I'm sure there's a way to measure it. I don't know how they do that. But the point is, that was a fun little fact that they threw in there. And so they really are painting him to be so impressive. And this isn't just like, oh, we're saying that he's impressive. No, he's going out there and showing that he's impressive. And during this, oh man, it was so good because he was beating Ricochet's butt. He goes to the top rope, and this was the best part of the match. He goes to the top rope and he freaking hits him with the Frankensteiner. Dude, that Frankensteiner was so freaking nice. And he really looks like a young Scott Steiner. He legitimately does. Like, the snap that he had on his legs to do that Frankensteiner, this isn't just anybody doing that kind of a move in slow motion. No. Bron Breakker did it like a freak athlete doing freak athlete shit. And I want to keep seeing Bron Breakker do that freak athlete shit. Like, that is the stuff that really, really hits. And so, man, loved Bron Breakker hitting the Frankensteiner the way that he did, in particular with this match with Ricochet. It just looked extra special. Also, while I'm here, I do post my reactions on Instagram. So if any of you guys want to see my reaction to the Frankensteiner, my reaction to the Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio stuff, that's all up on Instagram. I've been doing a lot of that the last couple of weeks for all the wrestling shows that I watch. So if you're into that type of stuff, because I know there are people that are into reactions like that, you can go to my Instagram page at _DeniseSalcedo and check that out. But Bron Breakker, Ricochet absolutely kicked ass, man. And they announced a big match for next week, by the way. They are going to do Ilya Dragunov versus Bron Breakker. I am so freaking stoked for this match, guys. Like, this is going to be ass-kicking stuff. This needs to be given all the time in the world. Now, I know this isn't a pay-per-view, but damn, if they can give us a pay-per-view match on Raw with Ilya and Bron Breakker, please give it to me. I also forgot to mention, but they also announced Sami Zayn versus Otis for next week as well. It's a non-title match, but that one should be good as well. And that was basically because, again, Otis is still continuing to do the bidding work of Chad Gable. Even though he's hesitant, he still does it. The other item, we had Kiana James wrestle Natalia. This was a very quick match. It was under 3 minutes here. Natalia hit a German suplex, went for the sharpshooter, but Kiana James blocked it and hit her finisher. And she gets a win via pinfall. So she gets a quick win. And I really did want to see this match go a little bit longer because I think if you can have a long match with anybody, it's going to be Natalia. And Kiana James is only going to get better and better by going out there and having these lengthier matches. I've seen her entire run on NXT and I really like her character work, but I don't feel like I've seen her wrestle enough. I don't see her in ring at the same level as Lyra Valkyra or Zoe Stark when they first got called up to the main roster. So for that reason, I want to see Kiana James wrestle a little bit more just so that we can sort of see her get be a little bit more impressive in ring wise on the main roster, because, you know, it's just different. Once you're on the main roster, the odds are stacked a lot higher. And so I think she's got what it takes, and I think they need to let her show a little bit more of that, show whatever she can. And again, if you're going to do it with anybody, you can do it with Natalia. All right. We also had the Braun Strowman Carlito match. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. This is actually where the Liv Morgan stuff happened. I kind of forgot that the Braun Strowman Carlito match happened. And I'm going to be honest with you, I forgot because it was so short and it was not noteworthy at all. So there really isn't much to say. I already covered all of the important stuff in regards to that. We also got to see Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill in action. They took on Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. This was a good match. They were kicking ass. They were doing their thing. I really liked the intensity that both teams were bringing. And that's the thing. Like, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark are a good tag team. I actually really enjoy them as a team because I think Zoe Stark is a really good wrestler. And Shayna Baszler is Shayna Baszler. We already know. I don't got to tell you about Shayna because you guys already know about Shayna. So seeing Bianca and Jade in a match with them, I enjoyed that. However, I did not enjoy the finish necessarily because Isla Dawn and Alba Fire attacked Bianca Belair. And so this ended up being a disqualification. I do not mind the attack from Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. In fact, I welcome the attack, but I do wish the attack would have occurred after the match because they have been protecting Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill a whole lot. Like, the way that they have been presenting them as a team, they're powerful, they're unstoppable. They're not the girls that lose a match via disqualification or whatever. Like, they don't win a match via disqualification. They just don't do that. They're going to get clean wins because that's the kind of team that they are. And so the fact that it ended in a DQ, that was what I did not like. I did not like this match ending in DQ. I think that the attack should have been immediately after, once the bell rang, once Bianca and Jade got their win, then Alba Fire and Isla Dawn could have attacked either team, the champions or the challengers, either one. But on the bright side, we're finally seeing Alba Fire and Isla Dawn get put into a story because they didn't really have much of a story. In fact, they were called up to the main roster a long time ago, it feels, and they hadn't been in any storyline until now. And I feel like they have waited long enough. And they're a good team. I like their character. They actually have characters. They're like these witches. So they do black magic and stuff. It works. They look cool. Let's do something with that, right? So people had been waiting for this. So it's just an execution thing that I didn't like. But either way, I am looking forward to seeing what they do next with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. We got a quick Jey Uso promo. The promo was really just to say that he wants to be part of the Money in the Bank. It didn't really feel all that memorable. The crowd was chanting yeet. It was basically just so that the crowd could chant yeet a bunch of times. Like, there really wasn't much else to this promo at all. We do see Io Sky attack Lyra Valkyra in a backstage segment. So we are going to be seeing a rematch of that next week. We also saw the Authors of Pain defeat the New Day in a quick squash match. I'm still not digging the Authors of Pain and Karrion Kross. I think that I still have a lot of residual memory of what they did on SmackDown, which was nothing. And I feel like that has kind of carried over to the Raw side. So I really want them to liven this up a lot more. The squash matches aren't really going to do it for me. Again, most of you guys know, if you've listened to any of my reviews, if you're going to do a squash match, I want that squash match to be electric. I want it to be like Bron Breakker when Bron Breakker goes out and does squash matches. It's got to be really, really electric. And so when they're not, it sort of falls flat for me. And that's why I still have not been able to really get on board with the Authors of Pain or any of the stuff that they've been doing with Karrion Kross in the back. So that hasn't hit just yet for me, but I'm hoping that it eventually does. We also got a main event match between Damian Priest, the world heavyweight champion, against Rey Mysterio. This was a non-title match. So, good match. It's literally the match that you would expect it to be. It was perfectly fine, perfectly enjoyable. The only thing that I wish, too, is I was talking about things being more electric. That's kind of how I feel about the World Heavyweight Championship picture with Damian Priest. I really do think that they need to add a whole lot more to Damian Priest's presentation as World Heavyweight Champ. I really, really hope that they make it feel like a bigger deal, because I think that's sort of what's been lacking on the show, where it's almost like they're not presenting him as a champion. They're just presenting him as a guy that happens to be champion versus the champion. Like, he's definitely not getting the Cody Rhodes treatment, of course. He's getting more of the Bayley treatment. And even, yeah, he's getting the Bayley treatment, which really sucks too, because I don't want to see that for Bayley either. But you can tell when they sort of care about a champion and when they kind of don't. And right now, that's kind of how it's feeling for both Bayley and Damian Priest. So I really hope that they add a little bit more life to it, especially if it's going to be a quick thing. I don't know if he's losing at Clash at the Castle. I'm expecting him to actually win at Clash at the Castle. I'm expecting him to lose at SummerSlam against Gunther. That's where I think Gunther is going to become champion. So again, while he has the bout, make sparks fly, man. Make sparks fly with him as World Heavyweight Champion. Because if you ask me, what's the first thing that comes up to your mind, pops into your mind when you think of the Judgment Day? I'm going to say Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan. And that should not be my answer, given that the World Heavyweight Champion is part of that stable. So I just think they need to add a little bit more life to it. That's kind of about it. And either way, we did see Drew McIntyre attack Damian Priest from behind as soon as we saw Damian Priest get the win. He hit the South of Heaven chokeslam, gets the win over Rey Mysterio, and then Drew McIntyre comes out and attacks him. Drew McIntyre set up the Claymore, but Finn Balor ended up hitting the ring instead. And so Drew McIntyre ended up chucking aside Finn Balor, Carlito, and McDonough. So that's what we ended up seeing that. Eventually, we do see Damian Priest get up and chokeslam Drew McIntyre through the table. So at the end, you see Damian Priest standing above Drew McIntyre with the championship and all of that. And that's basically how the show closed. So they did make him look strong at the very end. But again, they need to do a little bit more there. Like, throughout the show, not just the very end. Like, do a little bit more throughout the show. But there you go. That's sort of what went down on Raw. Wow, I was actually hoping that this review would be 20 minutes, but I went a little bit more than that. So let me know if you guys enjoyed this mini Raw review. And if you did, I will keep doing more of them. Again, just hit me up on social media, or I'll keep an eye out on the numbers here on the audio version. And I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you as always. If you enjoyed this, please do not forget to leave a review on Apple Pods or Spotify, or just spread the message about this podcast. I am also live on Tuesdays for NXT, Wednesdays for AEW Dynamite, Fridays for SmackDown, and Saturdays for Collision. And I also do some pay-per-views, or pretty much every pay-per-view on here now as well. So make sure to give it some love. Thank you, everybody. Happy Monday.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.